you seek your calling in life, again, my friends, you want to begin with the overarching vision that we presented in the last presentation, that is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek the kingdom first, and all these things will be added to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Keep those verses in mind as you seek God's will in your calling. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge what God wants first, and then God will direct your paths. Identify what God wants for your life, and God will direct the steps. But if you don't acknowledge what God wants and you're just seeking what you want, there won't be any divine direction in your life. Well, let's talk about what God wants for you, and we're going to get into God's Word and find that God wants something different from girls and boys. So it turns out the Bible is not egalitarian, which means the Bible doesn't establish common roles and a common vision for boys and girls in their lives. That's a highly controversial point. The president of Harvard University lost his job because for just a minute he said, "I think boys and girls might be different." And I don't think he even got the whole sentence out because he was kicked out of the college. You know, he just said that. He just said, "I think boys and girls might be different." And as he was working through the word different, he got kicked out of the college. "You're out of the game, baby. You're out of here." So it's very controversial to just come out and say it. Boys and girls are different. They have different physical makeup. They have different intellectual makeup. They have different roles in life. And there are boys, there are men who get very, very upset that God has created women to have babies, and boys or men cannot have babies. So you have, you know, guys having temper tantrums over this kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is God made women different from men. I hope this isn't something brand new to those of you who are watching or listening right now. God made men and women different for different roles in life. Now, as Christians, that should be obvious, and we should just accept it, and it shouldn't be a big deal. We should just go to God's Word and find what we call the gender-specific passages that God has for us. Again, if you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, everybody needs to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So that's everybody, okay? But there are certain roles that God has established for boys and girls. And so let's break this down. Again, this is important. Now you're saying, "Well, now wait a minute. I'm trying to seek my calling. I want to know whether God wants me to be a mechanical engineer or a civil engineer." I'm saying, okay, back up for a second. Acknowledge God in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. So right now, we're going over the acknowledging God in all His ways. We're not talking about your path. We're talking about acknowledging God in your ways, and we're asking what God wants. So that's the first question you all need to ask. What does God want out of my life? And so we're going to split up a couple of passages. Some passages of Scripture apply to the men, and some apply to the women. So we're going to talk to the women first. There are passages in Scripture that are gender-specific to girls, to women. And they apply to you. And this is God's vision for your life. If you're a girl, this is what God wants for you. And what we find in Scripture is that God has created women normatively to be a helpmeet for men. So the first overarching issue is that God has created women to be a helpmeet for their husband. And we find that in Genesis chapter 2. This is at the very beginning when God created the woman out of the rib of the man. He presented the woman to be the help appropriate for the man. Now, there's another passage in Titus chapter 2 that is important as well. And this is where God has presented through Paul the normative vision for a woman's life to be what we call an oikos despoteo. And that's the Greek word for it. But in English, it's usually translated keeper of the home or home manager. If you look at oikos despoteo, it's oikos is home or family. Despoteo is the leader or despot, hopefully a benevolent despot, but somebody who oversees what's going on in the home. So what we have for the ladies, and something that as ladies you need to really focus on, is is how do you become a home manager and a helpmeet for your husband? Now, I'd like to draw this out as two concentric circles. God has two things in mind simultaneously for women. This is his vision for women. The external circle, the outside circle, is helper. God has created the wife or the woman to be a helper for her husband. The internal circle is the home manager. Okay, so we have home manager and helper. Now, you notice that home manager is not the all and end all of what it is to be the helper for her husband. It is a part of it. It's not the essence of it necessarily. It is a part. It's the central part of what it is to be a woman. Now, there's two traps you can run into here, and one is to think of yourself as one who is just preparing herself to be a home manager for her husband. And this is the ditch into which some fall, where you prepare to take care of children, you prepare to make cookies, you take the course How to Wear an Apron 101 for 18 years straight, and that's pretty much it. Okay? That's a trap. That's not necessarily the essence, the end all and be all of what God has envisioned for the life of a young woman. Yes, indeed, it's important. You want to be prepared to manage a home. You want to be prepared to be able to nurture a two-year-old. You want to be prepared to raise children. You want to be prepared for that very, very important family element where you're raising the next generation and effectively involved in the generational aspect of the kingdom of God. That's very important. Essential. I touched on that in the last presentation. But you also want to prepare to be a helper for your husband. There's other things to do besides manage the home and the life of a young woman. For example, if my daughter was gifted in natural sciences, in medical sciences, I could tell because she was dissecting frogs at 3 years of age. She was working on her brother's appendix at 9, and it's obvious she has some gifts in the area of medical science. So what would I do? Well, I'd, of course, emphasize that those are her gifts. That's something that God has given to her. Now, it's something beyond changing the diapers of a two-year-old. It's something beyond making cookies and cooking meals and managing the household budget of, you know, $80,000 per year or whatever it happens to be. It involves something specific, a talent, a gift, an ability that God has given to her. I would, of course, encourage my daughter in the area of natural sciences and medical science and find ways in which she could maximize on those gifts, those talents, those abilities. And so it's fine to prepare a daughter in some form of academics for a specific area of economic endeavor. Nothing wrong with that. That's important. That's part of the vision. But the point is, I'm not preparing my daughter for the area of medical science in order for her to be a part of a large medical complex plugged into the large fascist corporation that's largely controlled by Obamacare governments and large corporations. I don't really want to prepare her to be a minion that's plugged into a large economic corporate structure. My interest is to prepare her to be a helpmeet for her husband, a helper for her husband. Her husband may have a wonderful vision for a mission station in Africa, for example. His skills are preaching the Word of God. Her skills are in the area of medical science. And if you know anything about Africa, you know that people not only need the Word of God, not only need some spiritual teaching in their lives, but oftentimes they come into the medical station or the missionary station with medical needs and appendix problems. And if she's been working on appendixes since she was 9 years old and she's very good in these areas, then perhaps she could be of great use for the kingdom of God in this household vision on the mission field in Africa. So you see, what we have is an axe head to an axe handle. We have a man and a woman coming together, they're getting married, and they're a perfect tool together to accomplish something significant for God's kingdom. This is called a household economy. So all of this assumes a household economy. We have to come at the understanding of calling from the perspective of the household economy that, by the way, was functional and pretty much the way that all families, all economies operated for about 5,900 years until the present day. So Our young women should prepare themselves for a household economy, where, as it says in Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. See, again, the vision is this. The man has a household economy. He's got savings accounts. He's got all this financial stuff going on. The woman fits into the household economy as an axe head does to an axe handle, and she contributes to this unified household economy, and the heart of her husband safely trusts in her so that he shall have no need to spoil. She's contributing to the household economy, and you as young women need to prepare to be a part of a household economy. This is God's way of doing economics. I know it's very strange, probably not taught in your average university today, but if you're going to be trained for some area of economic endeavor, you need to think about God's way of doing economics. You're to train to be a part of a household economy where the heart of your husband safely trusts in you so that you will have no need to spoil. Think about this. The biblical economies were always household-based economies. Joseph was feeding his father's sheep. David was feeding his father's sheep. Rachel was feeding her father's sheep. Rebecca was feeding her father's sheep. And in the New Testament, we read that Aquila and Priscilla, they were tent makers. Aquila and Priscilla, they were obviously in the tent-making business, a husband and a wife together, teaming up, doing something economic together for the sake, of course, of the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. So this is the vision, this is what God has in mind for young ladies. And again, I know I haven't touched on the fact of whether you need to be a civil engineer or a mechanical engineer. I've talked about whether you need to prepare in the area of medical science or whether you need to prepare in the way of accounting. The point is your heart really directed by what God wants? What does God want? God wants you to prepare to be a help appropriate for your husband and a home manager, one who knows how to manage a home and manage it efficiently and manage it well and manage the relationships within the home and prepare young people, perhaps, you know, your own children for the future by discipling them and raising them in the fear of God and the nurture of the Lord. Okay, so that's the overarching vision. We're starting with that. There's more to be said about what God wants for ladies. You find in 1 Timothy chapter 2 just a little bit more on this. So be aware that there's a whole lot more. God really apparently appreciates a meek and quiet spirit. He likes modesty and dress. He appreciates childbearing. All of this shows up in 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is God's heart. I hope it's your heart. This is what God desires. I know it's not very popular. If you stood up in a college classroom today and said, my goal in life is to be one of a meek and quiet spirit, I want to be modest and dressed and saved in childbearing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is my vision for my life. My guess is the feminists sitting around you would not appreciate your sharing these things. So the point being that this is what God wants, it's in His Word, and you really need to make this a commitment in your own life. Focus on these things first, and God will add all the others to you. Now let me move on to young men. I want to spend just a little bit of time for young men because God's Word has something important here for you as well. You find in Genesis chapter 1 that God has in mind that you be equipped for dominion work and ready to take dominion. You say, what is dominion? Dominion is to rule over God's resources effectively as a vice president or a vice governor, somebody to be right there, standing next to God, doing the sorts of things that God wants you to do in order to rule over His nature of His creation. There's different things you can do. You can work with the resources, the natural resources that God has given. You can turn rocks and oil into DVD players and automobiles for the sake of mankind. But of course, God wants you to do this work in the medical world or in the world of automation or technology or what have you, all to His glory. And all this needs to be submitted to His law. That is, when there are people out there who are doing medical science, but they're killing babies and grabbing their stem cells in order to do the work, friends, that's not true dominion. You say, why not? Because you're not playing by God's rules. If you're going to rule over nature, you need to do it by God's rules. And if there are people doing entertainment and they're glorifying adultery as part of the movies they produce in Hollywood, and by the way, there are some in Hollywood that glorify the breaking of the seventh commandment and the sixth and the fifth commandment and so forth and so on. That's not true dominion. That's not the way God wants you to make movies. It's not the way God wants you to do medical science. So as Christians, we go into these areas and we rule in these areas according to God's principles, and we do the same thing in the civil magistrate. So depending on where God calls you, you are called to take dominion. You say, well, where does my wife fit into this picture? Again, as a help meet or appropriate for you as you accomplish these things. So the first thing that God wants you to do is take dominion according to His rules in some area. Now again, I'm not telling you what area to do this, but this is what God wants. And acknowledge God in all your ways, whether in medical science, whether you are in economics, whether you're in politics, wherever you are, acknowledge God in all your ways and He will direct your paths. Okay, number two, the second thing God wants for young men, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, tells you as a young man that you're responsible for the material well-being of your home. That is, if a man does not take care of his own family, he has denied the faith. He is worse than an infidel. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 5, which means that that's a very, very fundamental, very important element of what it is to be a Christian man. You're not a Christian man. You're worse than an unbeliever if you're not willing to take responsibility for the physical and material needs of your family. And sadly, that's why 70% of young men aren't grown up by 30 years of age now, up from 30% in 1970, according to a Newsweek magazine article that came out about 3 years ago. 70% of young men are not willing to be responsible for the material well-being of their homes, and that's why you have such a breakdown of all of our social systems, a breakdown of marriage, a breakdown of households, of family life, and all the rest. It's because young men aren't responsible. They're not willing to get out there and take responsibility for the material well-being of the home. This is so fundamental, so important. I really want to impress this on you, young men. You need to memorize 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, where God commands you, God holds you responsible to be the man to provide for the material well-being of your home, which means you need to be working and learning how to work and how to get up in the morning and schedule your day and be responsible early on. Hopefully young men are learning this when they're 10 or 12 or 14 years of age and they're not playing games while they ought to be working and preparing for being the man that God wants them to be. So learn the habit of work, what it is to get up every day and apply yourself for 8 to 10 to 12 hours per day, and you should be working Monday through Saturday. So you should be working 6 days and be prepared to give a material sustenance for your own homes. Now, number three, the third thing God requires of you is that you be a spiritual leader. This shows up in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, just before Paul's admonition to women. He has one little verse for young men, and that is, he would that men... He uses the Greek word andres there. Men everywhere pray with the lifting up of holy hands without wrath and without doubting. The word is males. He would that males be upfront in their spiritual leadership. That's the important thing. When there are men and women, young men and young women in a crowd together, let's say, and some issue comes up, somebody mentions that their mother has cancer or something like this. It should be the young men that stand up and say, we need to pray about this. It should be the young men that are willing to get their hands up and lead spiritually. Now, this is actually rather rare in our day to day. Most young women are upfront and interested in the worship, oftentimes in the singing of the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. You find young women enthusiastic, out front, raising their hands, but young men have their hands in their pockets. They're not all that interested in the worship. They're shuffling their feet. They're checking out the girls, but they don't seem to be all that engaged in the worship of God. Well, God doesn't appreciate that kind of worship. What God wants out of young men is spiritual leadership. He wants every young man to be engaged at some level in spiritual leadership. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to be a pastor. Doesn't mean everybody's going to be an elder in the church or a leader in the church. But it does mean that when you have a crowd together in a home, the young man needs to lead. Let's say that you are in your home, your father is out, and you're the 18 or 19-year-old young man in that home, and it's time to have a little prayer. It's time to do some family worship, get into the Word of God, encourage Folks, in the Word of God, it should be the young man that reaches for that Word and is willing to be that spiritual leader in that context. Now, when dad's not there, the young man ought to be willing and able to step forward and do that. Now, at this point, you're saying, you're not getting to the issue yet, Mr. Swanson. You haven't really addressed the issue. All I want to know is, am I supposed to be a plumber or an electrician? Am I supposed to be the President of the United States or an airline pilot? I want to know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Well, again, in all your ways, acknowledge God, and He will direct your paths. That is, ask God what He wants. Seek to prepare yourself in these areas of what God wants for your life, and God will direct your paths. I know this doesn't sound right at first blush for you, but you came in here to determine whether you want to be a mechanical engineer or a civil engineer, a plumber or electrician. But I'm here to say you need to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, and all these things will be added unto you. You need to acknowledge God in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. What does God want out of you? What does God want from your life? God wants you to be a spiritual leader. God wants you to be willing to provide for your household, which means get out there and do some work. Learn the pattern of work. Doesn't matter where you work. Just means that you've been moving your legs and your hands and your brain for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years and learning how to work wherever you happen to find a job. You have learned the things that God wants, and as you are seeking what God wants, He will add all these things to you. He will direct your path. He will tell you whether you need to be a civil engineer or a mechanical engineer. These are the things that God wants. He wants you to be a protector. That's the fourth issue. He wants you to be a defender of the home. Nehemiah 4 and verse 14, another gender-specific passage for young men. Not for young women. It's defend your household, defend your wives, defend your children. God is directing Himself to men to be those who are willing to defend a household, both physically and spiritually, looking out for those things that would attack, that would undermine, that would damage and hurt those members of your family. You ought to be those who are willing to protect the family in a physical sense. You ought to know something about physical defense for your households. It's important. This is something that God lays out for young men in His Word. Moreover, God also wants you to be a shepherd in your home. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 is one of the key passages there. Fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let's say that you have not prepared yourself to be a shepherd in the home, and God wants you as a father to be a nurturer, somebody who can pull out the Word of God and share it with your children and apply it appropriately to their lives. You've never done that. You haven't done it as a 16-year-old, as an 18-year-old, as a 22-year-old, a 24-year-old. You're not ready to get married. You're not ready to have a family. You're not ready to live the Christian life. You haven't focused on what God wants you to be. And because of that, of course, God's not going to direct your paths. Of course, all these things won't be added unto you. You need to seek what God wants first. He wants you to be a shepherd in your home. Here's one last passage. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 speaks of men being a spiritual leader and a resident theologian in the home. That is somebody who can answer questions concerning God's Word. If your wife has a question, she should be able to come home and ask her husband these issues. But if her husband is all thumbs when it comes to theology, he's never been in the Word of God, he's never sought out these things himself, he's not a studier in the Word, and he hasn't sat with the elders in the churches and learned the important things about God's Word, he hasn't discussed any of these things before, then he's not going to be prepared to be the resident theologian that God wants him to be in the home. Okay, so I've just gone over some of the gender-specific passages you're going to find in the Bible that apply directly to men and those that apply directly to women. So God is not an egalitarian. He's not egalitarian in gender roles. He has created women for different things, and He's created men for different things, and the fact that He creates them for different things doesn't make one better than the other any more than the sun is greater than the moon or better than the moon any more than the ocean is better than the land and so forth. God makes different things for different purposes, and we need to glorify God for how He's constructed us. Now, let's talk a little bit about your specific calling as we wrap up this discussion. There is a division between the entrepreneurial approach and the college corporate approach to your career or to your work. Now, there are differences here. The entrepreneur approach is slightly different than the person who is going to be working the job. Please understand that entrepreneurs typically have a little different preparation. They tend to have a different preparation in terms of character. They have a different approach. They may be prepared. They may be preparing for entrepreneurial life. Now, I started in the college corporate life and did that for about 10 or 12 years and transitioned over to an entrepreneurial approach to business and ministry later on in my life. So understand that you can cross over later on if you need to. You don't need to start out on the entrepreneurial track. You might have to start out on the college corporate track, eventually get a job, and then work your way over to the entrepreneurial track. The entrepreneurial track tends to work. If you're debt-free, it tends to work better. If you have some preparation, perhaps your father has some inheritance, perhaps he has a business. There are things that make it easier to do the entrepreneurial approach. But there are a lot of people who appreciate the entrepreneurial approach because it allows for a healthier family economy generally. It's hard to develop a family economy when you're working in the corporate approach to things. It's hard to bring your family, your wife, your children into your economic endeavor if you're working a job down at the corporation. So there are differences between the college corporate approach and the entrepreneurial approach. My only encouragement to you is, number one, not to throw rocks. If you're a college corporate guy, don't throw rocks at the entrepreneur. And if you're an entrepreneur, don't throw rocks at your friend over there who works the college corporate track. Please understand there are two tracks here. We need to respect each other. We need to understand that these two tracks exist. My encouragement is to use mentorship no matter what you're preparing yourself to do. Doesn't matter if you're going the corporate route or the entrepreneurial route, you're still going to need mentorship. That's critical for anybody who's going to be successful in any sort of economic endeavor. Finally, your specific calling. How do you know what your specific calling is? Again, my encouragement is take everything into account I've said so far about a vision for your life and God's calling on your life. Do what God wants first. Be the man of God God wants you to be. Be the woman of God that God wants you to be. And if you seek His kingdom and you take into account all these things that God wants you to be as a beautiful woman of God, as a mighty man of God, prepared to be the spiritual leader, prepared to take dominion according to God's principles, prepared to be that shepherd in the home, prepared to defend your household for the glory of God, you know, prepare yourself for the things that God wants you to be, and God will show you what He wants you to do specifically day by day, month by month, and year by year in your life. I want you to encourage you to pray, seek counsel from others, and get involved in economic endeavors. I've said this earlier on. One of the best things about mentorship is not just to be taking in all of this college knowledge and all of this book knowledge, but actually get out there into the field and try it out. If you think that engineering may be something that you're interested in, just work with an engineer. I don't care what kind of engineer. It could be a civil engineer, a computer engineer, an electrical engineer. Just get out there in the field, get your feet wet, and find out what it's like. This is how you're going to discover the calling that God has for you. Assess your gifts, talents, and abilities. There are ways in which you can do that. We'll share a little more on that later on. But pray that God gives you special knowledge concerning the gifts that He has given you, and then use those gifts for His glory and for the sake of His kingdom.